chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. We have used this passage in our scripture reading a couple times during this series, and we use it again today as we continue to look now at the intermediate state. This morning, the intermediate state of the unbeliever. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died, and he was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things, but now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Heavenly Father, as we continue this morning to think about the future of the human soul and this condition of the intermediate state, the condition between physical death and the moment of bodily resurrection. Lord, we rejoiced last time when we thought about the intermediate state of the believer and all that even some of our loved ones in Christ who have gone before us are enjoying and experiencing even now, and how we thanked you for that. Today, Lord, we look with some horror at the intermediate state of the unbeliever. May this serve to anyone who does not yet believe upon Jesus for their salvation. May it serve as a great warning to them today. And for those who are believers, Lord, we again thank you that this will not be our condition, because we have been rescued by the grace of Jesus through personal faith in him. And so, Spirit of God, now do take of your word and instruct us this morning. For the glory of Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The consciousness of the dead, we have looked at that point as we have studied the future of the human soul. And today we look at the conscious condition of the unbeliever between the time of physical death and bodily resurrection. When I say unbeliever, let me just take a moment. I know for many of you this is known, and maybe for some it isn't. There is one and only one condition for eternal life in the Bible. Jesus said it, John chapter 6, verse 47. Believe in me, you have eternal life. Believing in Jesus for eternal life is the only way to have it. That's it. There is no other way. And I labor this a little bit this morning because I know nobody wants to say or acknowledge that might be me. But do you know, it might be. Throughout my years of ministry, I have seen people come to believe in Jesus for their salvation who spent most of their lives going to church. Some of them said, I have tried to follow Jesus every day of my life. I had a man, he was actually an elder in a church. And he said to me, you know, all my life, I've tried to follow Jesus as my Lord, and I never believed in him as my Savior. There are people like that. There are people who would say, well, I made my commitment years ago. Well, you know what? Making a commitment is not the same thing as believing in Jesus. You don't get saved by making a commitment. You don't get saved by praying a prayer. You get saved by faith alone, believing in Jesus. And so it is those who have believed that have the intermediate state that is now in the third heaven. But those who have not believed, they may have tried hard, they may have worked hard for it, they may have thought they were good, but they haven't believed. They're not saved. They enter this condition, a conscious condition, in Sheol, Hades. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Sheol, Hades today. Remember, Sheol is the Hebrew word in the Old Testament. Hades is the Greek word in the New Testament, and both those terms describe the same place. We will have a whole message on that in about 3 weeks, so be patient. The unsaved in Sheol Hades will remain there until the time of their bodily resurrection, which for them will be a bodily resurrection into a condemnation body, not a glorified body, a condemnation body designed for the lake of fire, which is also not what we're talking about this morning. Now, there is some information, and a lot of it comes from the passage that we've read this morning. And we're just going to look as simply as we can at 10 descriptions of the intermediate state for the unbeliever. And in case anybody missed it, this intermediate state begins at physical death. You know, 1 minute after you die, you will be conscious. 1 minute after you die, you will be somewhere. Now, for the unbeliever, what is that? In Luke chapter 16, verse 23, description number one, torment. It is a conscious condition of torment. Luke 16:23, in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now, we will get to it. Sheol, or Hades, had two halves to it. The one half was paradise, or Abraham's bosom. That's where Lazarus was, and we've seen that in this passage already. So that half is where the saved went. Remember, that half has been moved. It was moved at the ascension of Jesus to the third heaven. So that is in heaven now. But the other half, referred to here as torment, it's referred to in other places as hell. The Greek word Gehenna And that actually was named after the garbage dump of Jerusalem in the Hinnom Valley outside of Jerusalem. Tartarus is also there. And in 3 weeks, we'll just go through the whole list of things that are in this half of Sheol Hades. But this one is called torment. I know I've taught you this before, but in verse 23, the word torment, I would recommend that you capitalize that in your Bible. Make it torment with a capital T. Because he was not only in a tormented condition, he was in the portion of Hades that's referred to as torment. So he's there. You know, that right there ought to be enough to say, I don't think that's where I want to go, right? But there's more. Also in Luke chapter 16, verse 23, this unsaved rich man can see. He saw Abraham far away. Abraham was on the other side in paradise. Abraham's bosom. He could see across. But notice, he could see. In the intermediate state, unsaved people will be able to see. Now, they can only see within the realm that they are. That is, they can't see from there back to the life of those who have not yet died and look in on them and spy on them and things like that. They can't do that. But they can see in the realm that they are. In Luke 16, verse 24, as well as verse 27 and verse 30, we can see that he speaks. Verse 24, he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. He could speak. Verse 27, and he said, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. Verse 30, but he said, no, Father Abraham. He could speak, again, only speaking within the realm that he's in. And description number 4, he experiences agony and flame. Verse 24, send Lazarus so that he may dip the finger, tip of his finger. By the way, notice Lazarus has a finger in the intermediate state. And the rich man, finger in water and cool off my tongue. The rich man has a tongue. Okay? There is an intermediate state body. And we've hinted at that already, and that's next week's message. The intermediate state body. For I'm in agony in this flame. Agony. Verse 25. Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted. Comfort in paradise. But you are in agony. Agony in torment in Hades. Agony. Description number 5. Also in verse 25, he hears. He can hear. Luke 16:25, Abraham said, and apparently the rich man heard him. Verse 29, Abraham said, and the rich man heard him. Verse 31, Abraham said, and the rich man heard him. He could hear. So there is conscious awareness for the unsaved in torment. So you keep your place in Luke 16. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, it's talking about a king of Babylon who ends up being a typological representation of Satan. But the king of Babylon, talking about when he dies, Isaiah 14:9, Sheol from beneath is excited over you to meet you when you come. It arouses for you the spirits of the dead, all the leaders of the earth. It raises all the kings of the nations from their thrones. They will all respond and say to you, even you have been made weak as me, as we, you have become like us. Other unsaved kings, unsaved leaders in Sheol are speaking to the king of Babylon when he shows up there. And he can hear them. So there is a conscious hearing. Description number 6. No escape. No escape. Luke 16:26. There is a great chasm fixed so that those who wish to come over from here to there will not be able, and none may cross over from there to us. No one from paradise can go to torment. And no one in torment can go to paradise. The chasm is fixed, and this cannot be changed. Remember, the rich man had died, and he's now there, and his future is fixed. It cannot be changed. There's no crossing over. There's no change over. In torment, in Sheol, Hades, the unsaved person is bound and held for judgment at the great white throne judgment that will be at the time of their physical bodily resurrection, to face judgment and then sentenced to the lake of fire. In other words, where the unsaved person is now is not where they will be forever, but it is where they will be until their resurrection, and at that time they will go before the great white throne judgment and be sentenced to the lake of fire forever. Wow. And do you know what? No prayers for this rich man could ever change that. When an unsaved person is in hell, in torment, nobody's prayers can change that. You know, you can go to some shrine and light all the candles you want, and it will not help at all. Say, well, I'm saying my prayers for the dead. Well, you know what? Your prayers for the dead aren't helping you. God isn't hearing them. The unsaved person isn't hearing them. They are worthless. They're worthless. Not only that, because they go against the teaching of Scripture, they're actually blasphemous. Yeah. This cannot be changed. The lost are lost forever. Can't be changed. There's no crossover in this. There's no escape. Description number 7. Regret. You do know regret is a pretty useless thought. Doesn't do you a whole lot of good to regret things, you know, unless you're going to do something about it and change. Doesn't regret, but you know what? The intermediate state of the unbeliever is going to be filled with regret. And it's useless regret. Wow. He hopes that Abraham would send Lazarus back to his father's house where he'd come from because he has five brothers who need to be warned so that they don't end up in hell also. And what does Abraham say? Can't do that. Well, but if somebody came back from the dead and told them, they surely would listen. No, they won't. Abraham says, they have one message. Moses and the prophets, they have the Bible. They have the Word of God. And if they will not hear what the Bible says, they won't listen even if somebody shows up from the dead. Your opportunity to be saved is now. The hearing of the Word is what brings it. Not some miraculous, spectacular thing. The truth of the Word of God is what brings salvation. But this rich man in torment is filled with regret. You know, if you have a friend or a loved one that, as far as you know, they died and they are in this condition now. They are in torment in hell. Here's one thing I know for sure. They do not want you to come join them there. They don't. This man didn't want his brothers to end up there with him, did he? No. You know, this idea of, well, if I end up in hell, I'll just be there with all my friends and we'll have a big party and it'll be a blast and all that. You know what? The people who are there now don't want you there. It's no party. It's torment. It's agony. Constantly. Without reprieve. There's regret. Condition or description number 8. Back in Isaiah chapter 14 again, we see it. Isaiah 14:11, your pomp and the music of your harps have been brought down to Sheol. Maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you, and worms are your covering. See, I knew it. You just die and you go in the ground and the worms eat you. You know what? You don't just go in the ground. You go somewhere else and the worms might be eating on you, but you will never be consumed by the worms. I mean, just maggots and worms all the time. You say, that's disgusting. It's designed to be disgusting. Hell is disgusting. Mark chapter 9. in Mark chapter 9. I'll just start at verse 43 and read to verse 48. And you can see these things in the passage. Mark 9:43, if her hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. Say, when will these worms and maggots ever stop? They don't die. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off, for it's better to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye causes you to stumble, throw it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Say, and I've had people say this to me, now, you're just making this stuff up to scare people. Well, you know what? If I could scare somebody out of hell, I would. But I didn't make this up. Is it there to scare you? Well, yeah, it's certainly there to warn you. This isn't how any normal, healthy person wants to end up. Maggots, worms, you say it's disgusting. Yeah. And may it disgust you so much that you'll say, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'm believing on Him. Description number 9. Confinement. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, went actually in His ascension to heaven, and from heaven made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. The next verse, verse 20, actually tells us those spirits were the ones of people who died in the flood of Noah. They're in prison, the intermediate state for an unbeliever is a prison. It's confinement. It's where they are being held until the great white throne judgment. There is no freedom in torment. There's no, well, hey, I get to make up my own schedule. I get to decide what I want to do. After all, I'm here because I'm the master of my own fate. Well, okay, guess what? It's gone now. It's gone now. Confinement and description number 10, punishment. 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly. Yeah, and if you remember when we were in 2 Peter, we saw that's actually a rescue from the evil world around us. But the Lord also knows how to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. The unsaved in hell are under punishment. Say, well, how much of the time? All of it. They're under punishment. Torment. Agony. Flame. No escape. Only regret. Maggots and worms. Confined. Under punishment. And then, do you know what? After being sentenced at the great white throne and then sent to the lake of fire, it gets worse. It gets worse. Say, okay, why did we spend weeks laboring the point of the conscious future of the human soul? Because it's true. Because it's true. This isn't just some kind of a story to get people to shape up. This is a real description of what the future conscious existence of the unsaved is like. I have no desire for anyone to be in this conscious condition. I have no desire. You know, when somebody gets angry and says to someone else, go to hell, that's not amusing. That really isn't amusing. We're talking about real matters here. I have no desire for anyone to be in torment, in prison, under punishment, separation from God, regret, disgust. Yeah, if you know someone who's there, understand, they don't want you there. Hear the word of God today. Believe Jesus today. And when you believe Him, in that very instant, He gives you life, eternal life. Your sins are forgiven. Your destiny is changed in that moment. Believe Jesus today. Now, believers, we rejoiced last week in where we're headed. But come on, doesn't this make you rejoice even more for what you have in Jesus? What you have as a believer, we're going to celebrate that in a few moments in our love feast, aren't we? The joys of heaven and glorification. But let's remember, there are those who don't have it. You know, you can attend funeral services around the area, and you almost always hear whoever it is that died just kind of get, you know, passively sent to heaven. But do you know, just because that was said in a funeral service doesn't make it true. Only Jesus gives eternal life. Only Jesus. So believe on Him. Trust in Him today. Torment does not have to be your condition. It does not have to be where you end up. You can have heaven. And you can have it as a free gift. Now, if your loved ones are already in heaven, they do want you to be there with them. And so that's the great part for the believer. Anyone who has not believed on Jesus, only Jesus, for your salvation, the Lord is calling to you today. Believe upon Him and be saved. Be rescued out of this torment that could be yours if you reject Him. Be rescued out of this and be saved into the glories of heaven that belong to the glorified believer. Heavenly Father, I pray even now for anyone in this room today. Lord, I don't know what might keep them from believing on Christ and knowing for sure that they have eternal life. But Spirit of God, I pray that You will be at work in them. Convince them. Draw them. Grant faith in them, that they might believe upon Jesus and be saved. And Lord, for many across this room now who are saved and know it, how we thank You and rejoice in You. Lord, may this message even give to us a greater concern for those around us who are yet lost without Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.